The Be Our Guest podcast is proudly sponsored by the great folks over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days to Go WDW. Days to Go lets you count down the days until your next Walt Disney World vacation with style. And I'm using Days to Go WDW a little bit differently. I changed out my date for the Be Our Guest podcast cruise because I know I'm going to Walt Disney World, but I want to know when the, you know, it's like the cherry on top of the cake is what the cruise is to me. So I changed that date. And as I glanced down at my iPhone 6, I can see that we're down to just 93 days to go until we set sail for 5 nights around the Bahamas, having a great time with the podcast listeners. And you can get excited for that next Disney adventure as well. Just drop by virtualmickey.com, download Days to Go WDW. You're going to set your date right there on the app. You're going to get lots of beautiful pictures. You're going to get icons right there on your home screen of your phone to tell you how many days you have left. You can even get auditory alerts each and every day to remind you that you are one day closer to your Disney vacation. Check them out today and support the folks who support us. They're over at virtualmickey.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 842 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com, hoping this Wednesday finds you well as we get together for another One Commute Question Show, where we take your questions and comments, read them here on the podcast, and have fun talking Disney for about 30 or 40 minutes. And who knows what'll come up every Wednesday on these shows. So joining me today, we have the full crew here, and we're going to have a good time talking Disney. We have Ricky from TouringPlans.com, DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, and the co-editor of the Magically Speaking e-newsletter. When's the next one come out, Ricky? What's going on?
The next one comes out this Thursday. So if you are not subscribed, you should be. Magically-speaking.com. So, yep, it comes out on tomorrow. So, yay!
You know what my favorite part of that e-newsletter is every couple of weeks?
The best of BOGP.
You got that right. The best of BR guest.
You know, I just had a hunch. I'm just going to say.
Just saying, keep up with what Ricky thinks is the best to be our guest in the Magically Does Me. But,
hey,
I mean,
hey, sometimes I have gold. Sometimes I just have to go, well, this will do.
I know sometimes you're like, oh, that's the latest one. I'm close to a deadline. Here we go.
Yeah, usually it's ours that are that way. Okay, this one works.
So tell everybody, though, what's in the e-newsletter there that they might not know. If they don't subscribe, I mean, it's got all kinds of fun stuff in it.
Yeah, absolutely. We have my favorite thing. Okay, seriously, my favorite thing is the magical memory, because it's pictures from your guys' vacation, and I get to post them and share your stories, which is just seriously my favorite part. So if you guys have a photo that you want to send and include in the newsletter, send it to info@magically-speaking.com. And I'm so excited. I love when I get those photos. So that's my favorite thing to put in the newsletter, actually. I love sharing your guys' pictures. But I also, you know, we have recipes, we have Disney, you know, food. We have a contest called Lost in the World where people can have to decide where something could be. They base off of a picture and they have to decide where it is in Walt Disney World. Sometimes I get people, which I think is awesome when I get to trick people. But I'm kind of evil that way. So there's just a ton of stuff. And obviously, of course, there's the best of BOGP. And we have some great, fantastic authors who write some fantastic articles for Magically Speaking. So, you know, they're so talented. And I love what I get to read from them every, you know, couple weeks. So, yeah, go sign up right now if you haven't.
That's right. Do it during the show today. Magically-speaking.com. You'll get it tomorrow.
Exactly.
All right. Also joining us from MakingMagicAndMemories.com, we have Debbie. Happy Wednesday, Deb.
Hey, happy Wednesday, everybody. Can you believe it? I just can't believe that it's just flying by. I don't know why, but I'm already listening to Halloween music.
No! No!
Well, I listen to Christmas music during my day, but I drove into work listening to the Boo to You Parade. I was listening to Disneyland Christmas stuff all day and today. I know it's a sickness, but I can't help it.
Yeah, it's a big sickness, dear.
But at least I'm consistent.
Wow. Yeah, because I was talking to Dr. Kai the other day, and he said
about
something.
Me?
No, well, actually, you came up in the conversation because, it was because, remember, last Wednesday was a little day called April Fool's Day, which we'll talk about here in just a second, but Magical Mouse Radio just happened to have every single holiday's jingles playing during the day, and he said that he got a panic, that he was scared that he missed out on his Christmas shop, and I said, you know what? Debbie's already done. They're already wrapped.
Yeah, I've already started. Much. You're right. I've already started goodness. Christmas.
Oh, my.
You know, he's like, I came close to starting a couple of days ago. I almost bought something for my brother, and I was like, I don't know. I'm going to think about it. So I did come close to start buying Christmas presents just a couple days ago, but I usually don't. It has to be a long time before Christmas before I buy.
You will thank me.
It's got to be Christmas break. You know, when you get out of school for Christmas break, that's when go time is for me.
That's right.
Oh, anyway. No, you shop the day before.
That's it. That's what I'm saying. So anyway, all right, we've got to get to the questions here. So also joining us, we have the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel, Pam Forrester. Happy hump day, Pam.
Happy hump day, and I'm proud to say I have not started any Christmas shopping. and I probably won't until much, much closer to Christmas. I mean, I don't wait till the last minute, but at the same time, there's no way I'm starting at this point. I'm ready. Like, now my mind is to this, and I know this makes Steve crazy, but like every spring, I'm like, I want to get the garden in, and I want to have like a greenhouse, which I'm not allowed to have, according to my HOA. So
I'm with you on that one. Yes.
I know. But these are like the things that go through my mind. I'm like, how can I make this happen? So I don't know why we moved to a neighborhood. We probably should have moved to the country so I can have chickens and a huge garden, which no one can restrict, but I'm not quite that girl either. So anyway, I'll stick with my little vegetable garden, but I'm hoping it's going to happen. Every time I bring it up, I see Steve like going,
rolling his eyes. Oh, God, no.
If you do a greenhouse, you got to put a boat ride through it. I'm just saying, just to, top it off.
That's so cool.
And I'll charge, too. So if I'm going to, like, tick off my HOA, I'm going to do it big.
You might as well. Go big or go home. I'm just saying.
All right, well, let's get to the listener questions that we do here every Wednesday. But before we do that, we have a few announcements I want to get out there because we have a lot going on in the community, man. The BR Guest podcast, really, in the last 7 years has just grown to so many things going on. And we're so thankful because it's because of you guys, the listeners, that have taken a lot of these things and run with them and made them so awesome. I just want to remind everybody that the BR Guest Podcast Cruise is coming up. Like I said, it's in 93 days, actually. In the ad read, I said 95 because we recorded that one a little bit early. But it's 93 days from today. We get on the Disney Dream. Just reminding everybody that final payments are due at the end of this month. So contact your travel agent and just see about getting that taken care of. And I want to tell you why, because I know the Platinum and Gold Castaway Club members have been busy scheduling those Paolo and Remy reservations and shore excursions and all that over the last couple of weeks. But if you are silver, which means that if you have sailed with Disney Cruise Line just one other time, you are Silver Castaway Club member, you need to get that cruise paid off, because once your cruise is paid off, you can start making your specialty dining reservations and shore excursions. You can do that on April 11th. So that is coming up in less than a week. So you got to have that paid in full. So make sure you don't miss that window. Just get a hold of your travel agent or Disney to get that taken care of, and you'll be squared away. Final payment date, final date on that is April 26th at the last minute.
But do it
before that. Yeah, Ricky. I'm actually just speaking to Ricky through the microphone subliminally.
Right, exactly.
I just want to make sure she can be with. She's in all these events. I just want to make sure she can actually get on the boat itself.
I know. That's probably a really good idea to make sure that I'm actually there. Yeah.
So we don't have to like airlift her onto the ship somehow and like drop her.
Oh, that was the I Love Lucy episode. Yeah, there you go.
All right. Also, Florence is taking care of the big fish extender exchange during the cruise, and she has told us, and this sounds just about right, it sounds perfect, that if you want to get in on the fish extender exchange, which are just little trinket gifts where you can exchange with other cabins, a lot of times they kind of represent where you're from, what part of the country or part of the world. It's really neat. The deadline to register for that is on April 30th, so the end of this month. Just drop by the Facebook group, and it's called the Be Our Guest Podcast Cruise 3.0 Cruisers. It's a little private group. Drop by there, join the group, and then there's a Google Doc at the top. You can fill in your information, you know, who's in your cabin, what your cabin number is, and so forth, so we can get everything to the right place. And lots of pictures there as well from fish extender gifts from the past. It's a ton of fun. So if you're sailing with us, please do consider, you know, at least you can be frantic like us, you know, come the beginning of July and you know, you'll have your mini like assembly line with your whole neighborhood, you know, putting together, I don't know, toasters or something. I have no idea. So,
wow, you're putting toasters in people's fish extenders? That's awesome.
No, actually toast. You're going to Tonga toast or something. Okay. I don't know. So anyway, get in on the fish extenders. The deadline for that is April 30th. Also wanted to remind all of our running. First of all, the lizards are just expanding like you would not believe. And a big shout out to Mike Bankhead, our team captain, our team coach. What's that like from the Dead Poet Society? Oh, captain, my captain. I'm standing on top of the studio here, you know, up on the desk, bowing down to Mike because I love Mike. He's a great friend. But we're up to 364 running lizards right now. Can you guys believe that?
No lizards!
Yay!
We need one more so we can have one for every day of the year.
That's right.
So who's
I'm
next?
I'm sure that'll happen.
That's right. Probably by now. I'm sure it has happened. But just want to remind everybody that we have those awesome shirts that we get, I mean, for really, really inexpensive. They're tech shirts, short sleeve. They're great for running. The Disney races, you can definitely be seen for your training runs.
Yeah,
Training runs, you know, they keep you safe. I always run before dawn. And I run with that in a great light belt that my good friend George from Hawaii got me. And it keeps me safe out there. People can see me easily. And also, you know, we had a big group running in the Philadelphia Hot Chocolate Run this past weekend. And it was great. I mean, lizards got together, met for the first time, got lots of pictures. Appreciate that so much. It made my weekend seeing lizards. I mean, it's great to see everybody running Disney races, but when we're getting, you know, we're getting so big that we have people running other races together, I was like, this is absolutely a dream come true. So anyway, we want to get those shirts ordered. I know Mike is up to about 30 right now, so we're kind of holding, but we can't hold very long because we want to get those shirts ordered and out. So if you're thinking about getting a lizard shirt, drop by the group. It's on Facebook, Be Our Guest Lizards, and you can order those shirts. Again, very inexpensive, and he'll mail those right to you, take care of everything. So just drop by the Be Our Guest Podcast Lizards group on Facebook, or you can shoot me an email, Mike at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Finally, before we get to the questions, I have to send a big shout out to listener Keith, and he's actually our one-man art department and has been since.
Yay, Keith!
He's been there since day one.
Yes,
no kidding.
He has.
And I've always said this, our show would not have grown the way it did without Keith, because we have a very awesome logo from day one. I mean, when
Seriously.
I got this, I was showing it to everybody on my street. Remember, because it was like, you know, it was about this time of the year. I was showing everybody on the street. Everybody was coming. I was like, check this out. We have a logo. Our podcast is good. We have a logo. The podcast isn't as good as our logo. It's the logo kills it. But we came up with our theme. We kind of been talking behind the scenes. We're trying to be timely and fun and tropical. In the theme of Be Our Guest Podcast Cruise 3.0, is the Bog Tiki Cruise. And this goes back, let me just kind of give you a little backstory on how I came up with this. When I taught sixth grade, one of the movies that I showed every year to my sixth graders is part of our history and how early people moved around the planet, around Earth, and, you know, got to places, you know, how we think that happened. There's a movie called Contiki from 1950, talking about a guy who built a raft and sailed, I believe, from like South America to Polynesia, something like that. I should have paid better attention. I've seen it like 100 times. It's interesting though, because it's all black and white, and it's these guys like on a literally on a raft in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. The best part's when the shark comes up. But anyway, so search YouTube, you'll see that clip.
Okay.
But anyway, you know, so Contiki, Bog Tiki, and think about what just came online down at Walt Disney World. We have Trader Sam's. I mean, that's a tiki hangout. So we're going with the tiki culture. And so be ready for sail away. We're going to be all tikied out. So if you have any Hawaiian shirts or anything like that, you know, bring those for the cruise. But we are going to have awesome sail away t-shirts coming very, very soon. They're going to be high quality. You've probably seen our logo. For the cruise, it's on the Facebook group for the cruisers. So coming soon, we're going to have the shirts and all that getting ready to go for the cruise. But just want to send a huge, huge thank you to Keith, as always. Keith has a full-time job. He's very busy, but he steps up right into the role every time. And his artwork just blows me away each and every time. He's just like, here, does this work? I'm like, are you kidding me? That is perfect. Like it's, and he actually said the tiki's supposed to look like me. So I don't know.
It does look like
whatever. I hope I look that totally angry all the time? That's an angry looking tiki.
I didn't say it was the angry face that made it look like you. I just said it does look like you.
Okay, I guess. I don't know.
I mean, Brian's the one who said it to me, and I was like, oh my God, it does. Yeah.
But I've heard that from like five people, so it's kind of scary.
Especially since you lost all the weight, Mike.
Yeah, I'm a skinny tiki now, I guess.
Yes, you are.
Okay, let's get to the question. So I just want to get that off the top. So get your lizard shirts. We're going to have shirts for the podcast cruisers to have it sail away. It's a great souvenir to remember the fun cruise for years and years to come. And fish extenders get in on by April 30th. So here we go. First email of the day comes from Christopher Caruso. And you know what? I'm going to do something different this week. I'm going to read the question and then we'll answer it. Because
yay, good idea, good idea.
Because it's not April Fool's Day.
That's
it's
a not. Good thought.
I know some people I thought we lost it last week, but actually it was April Fool's Day. We just didn't explicitly say it.
So. It was way harder for us, let me just tell you. Like, our brains know, were right? working overtime.
That's a good point, yes.
And this is a great email to start with because it is somebody that is setting us straight. And I appreciate that. You know, hey, if we're wrong, we're wrong. So here we go. He says, hi, Mike and the team. You finally made me actually email you in response to what I think wasn't a very good answer to an email. In fact, I thought it was terrible advice.
Good.
I know.
Let's go.
No, it's actually right on. Regarding parking at the Contemporary for both lunch and dinner with the Magic Kingdom in between, the simple answer is to pay for valet for the whole day. $20 one time, come and go as you please. Perfectly legit for anyone. No moral conundrum. It only costs $4 more than the standard TTC parking and is far easier to deal with. Additionally, taking the monorail to the Magic Kingdom from the Contemporary makes zero sense when the Contemporary is the first stop on the resort line. In other words, you'd have to hit every hotel and stop before the Magic Kingdom. If you were going to Magic Kingdom from the Contemporary, you should walk it 5 minutes tops. On the other hand, going back to the Contemporary from the Magic Kingdom is perfect for the monorail as it is the first stop. Sorry to be so crass. I love the show. Thanks. And that is Chris. So, you know, and he's in New York. So, you know what? He's exactly right. I mean, if you're having lunch, I remember this one, lunch and dinner there, put the car there, valet it for $20. Sometimes we have to come up with these answers pretty quickly, right, Ricky? I mean, we don't necessarily study these for 12 hours, and he's exactly right if this is the situation.
Absolutely. You're right. I don't know why we didn't think of it, but it makes so much sense. Oh, go ahead.
Okay, go ahead, Pam. Why didn't we? Because I don't know.
Because technically, you're really still not supposed to do it. I mean, if you ask Disney what are in the rules, they should say, if they're quoting the rule book, that you not. Now, do I have a problem with this? Absolutely not. I do not have a problem with it, but we just try to go by what the official Disney rules are. I'm just saying.
We are such rule followers.
Well, I mean, we just try to give it. I'm not saying that we even personally follow all these rules. I'm just saying that if we're giving advice to others, then we try to. And that's, I mean, typically that's why we don't and things like that. It's supposed to be, you know, that the valet parking, you're only supposed to be there during the time you're staying at the resort. You absolutely are not supposed to use it just, you know, when you're going to go to the parks. Right. But most of the time it won't be a big issue unless you're there during a really busy time of the year.
And I mean, if they said anything, you could just say, hey, we're going to dinner. You know, I mean, you have a really good justification for it because you are spending money at the Contemporary two different times, you know, as far as going. But you're right. I mean, I agree with what you're saying, Pam, but I think you have a very good out if you want to play, you know, like that's how you just got to spin things like that at Walt Disney World. You know, hey, we're going to dinner. I got to have my car here again. Anyway. All right. Next question comes from Ricky Niblett. And actually, that means it's coming from Facebook and it's from Lisa B. And she has a quick question for the podcast. What is the best bang for your buck quick service out of the park on the dining plan? I'm a fan of using a quick service at Coronado Springs in the Pepper Market. Any other recommendations on the dining plan? So let me give this one to Debbie. So you're on the dining plan, quick service outside of the park. So we're talking the resorts. Where might you go to get the most bang for your buck?
Oh, honestly, my two favorites are Pop Century and Art of Animation. You have so much fun walk around, and I just think that they've got really good food there. I really like their food courts. They've got lots of choices. It's kind of funny because Art of Animation, it has nice real silverware. So please don't throw those in the trash like you do with your plasticware at Pop Century. Mm-hmm. But I really like those places that I've eaten there multiple times, and I've never been disappointed.
Yeah, I would say I'm right with you there, Debbie. My pick would have been Landscape of Flavors over at Art of Animation. It's just a little bit, you know, they took the Pop Century food court, which was very, very good, and just said, how can we, you know, make this a little bit better, make this experience a little bit better? And then, you know, it wasn't something that was like a gigantic 10-step difference, but it was like they took everything and just kind of gave it a little bit of oomph and made it better. So that's a good call.
Absolutely.
All right, Ricky, what about you? Anything you can think of outside the parks?
You know, I'm trying to think. For the dining plan, I would say potentially, obviously it depends on what time you're eating. And because if you're eating dinner, there are more expensive meals than on the menu, but then you're not getting the best bang for your buck, I don't think. Because if you're probably eating breakfast or lunch as your table service meal. So I would say something in my head is telling me Contempo Cafe. I feel like they have a lot of unique choices and they can be a little more costly, but I also feel like Captain Cook's as well. That's but then again, I just have a thing for Captain Cook's. So, but I feel like she's right on the money with Pepper Market, actually. That would have been my suggestion because I feel like Pepper Market has a lot of unique offerings and I mean, really, really good offerings too. So I was definitely not disappointed when I stopped at Pepper Market. So I would suggest that hands down for anything.
Yeah, and I think the prices at Captain Cook's have gone up since the refurb.
Absolutely, so. And that's why I was going to say it. I think that the prices have definitely increased there for and I mean, there's definitely some interesting options there as well that are different. And I think that, yeah, the cost increased just slightly. So.
I love those little chicken waffle sliders.
Oh, yeah, man. How can you miss those?
I could go for those right now. Pam, what are you thinking on this one?
So I'm going to give you a couple options. I'm going to say definitely Wolfgang Puck Express at Downtown Disney. Ooh, that is a great use of your counter service meal. There's some great options. The food's good. They have like a half a rotisserie chicken. They have bacon wrapped meatloaf. They have great pizzas, salads. They have an adult macaroni and cheese, which I like to see. And it's actually a really good one. So all these things are great choices for you. Also going to say I have, and I don't know if this is just me having a soft spot in my heart for Roaring Fork, but I do. I really, really, really enjoy Roaring Fork. It just has some interesting food. It
Absolutely.
Has, you know, and I think one of the things that makes a great use of your counter service meal is a place that has really good desserts.
Yes, so if you're going so to the place that is honest that to God has, truth. That's so right, Pam. I'm right with you. Dessert matters.
Yes, it
well,
does.
Well, not only that, right? You don't just want that chocolate or that carrot
no,
cake,
you
right?
don't want just the cake.
So
no.
If you go to Roaring Fork, you're going to have the Magic Cookie Bar, but they also have a fantastic s'mores cupcake, and none of you people go and get it because frequently I stop in there to get it, and it's sold out for the day. What are you doing to me? That's why I stopped there. So anyways, they also have a ginger orange carrot cake cupcake, which is really, really good too. But I just love Roaring Fork. It just gives me, first of all, an excuse to go to Wilderness Lodge. Mm-hmm. And it has some beautiful outdoor seating where you can hear the fire. You can hear the waterfall. So make it your excuse to go there, too.
And one thing, too, to remember is that when you are on the dining plan and you're using your quick service meal, been there with through this because I was asleep in my head and I didn't think about it till I got there. But when you use your quick service, you usually get the drink, your entree, and your dessert. You will get cheated out of a dessert if you use it for breakfast. So do not use your credit for breakfast because you only get an entree and a drink. You do not get a dessert for breakfast. So please remember that if you like me and you don't mess with my desserts, and they did. So just a little FYI.
We all got a sweet tooth here, obviously.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
But I can tell you, though, that speaking of Roaring Forks, because we stayed there at Wilderness Lodge this past summer, and I got to stay there for the media event that we did last spring. And both times, they have a really good chocolate cupcake that's infused with caramel, like liquid caramel almost on the inside, like real gooey caramel. Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's crazy good, so... Yeah, it sounds like they have lots of good dessert options. Roaring Fork just went to the top of the list,
I think. It does. Yeah. They have amazing dessert options there.
All right, next question comes from Facebook again, and it looks like it's from Leslie R. And she says, hi, I'm a DVC and have been upgraded from studio to a one-bedroom 2 of 3 times. Once was because they needed the room because it was accessible. No clue why the other time. So I think that goes back to our email about... I want to say it was listener Erica from Indiana who was asking about, you know, the possibility of upgrades, DVC stays on points versus cash. And we really, you know, I think, Pam, you kind of got into it with, you know, the DVC, you're trying to keep everything more equal than probably the cash folks with upgrades and so forth like that. But, you know, hey, it happens. Disney has the prerogative to shuffle. You know, it happens on the cruise line a lot with something called Guarantee. You know, they put you where it's best for them to be able to get, you know, the most people in the right place, right?
Yeah, they do try to. I really don't think it happens that often, and she is very, very lucky to have it happen twice. So I'm going to be staying with her on my next trip.
That's Leslie, so shoot her an email. We'll have to find her email address here.
Okay, good.
All right.
But, yeah, so good luck. I hope it happens again.
Yeah, she's hitting 667 there. I mean, that's pretty good batting average for upgrades. I'll take that. All right, next email comes from Angie Campbell, our good friend in Powell, Ohio. She says, hi, everyone. We have friends who are going to Walt Disney World for the first time in July. They'll be staying at the newly renovated Polynesian. I've been helping them with some of their planning. They have a package with park hoppers and the dining plan, but they just decided to add one night at the beginning of their trip at an all-star resort. It's a resort-only stay the first night. Do they have to have two sets of bands? I'm worried it will be confusing for them. If they decline to customize the Magic Bands for their first night, would their second set have their Magical Express information on them, or would it look like they had arrived a day too early? Being their very first visit, I'm hoping for everything to go as smoothly as possible, so I don't want to steer them wrong. While you're at it, any tips for when they switch resorts the next day? They're hoping to be at the Magic Kingdom bright and early. Any help would be greatly appreciated. And again, Angie's in Powell, Ohio. Okay, so she's basically got a one-night room only in front of a package. And so they're going to be switching. Let me just see if I can get this right on the Magic Bands, because I've been here. I believe they are going to get two sets of Magic Bands. They could... I don't know, because of the package. I'm just trying to, again, first timers, I know that I could get on there. I'm trying to think about doing this the best way without getting into the My Disney Experience app and doing a whole lot of, you know, making sure this has that. What would you suggest on this? Because they're going to have those, the ones from the All-Star, the room only, first, because the package comes second. So what would you do if this was your situation and the Magical Express part?
So I would use the first set of Magic Bands for my whole stay. Is she staying, are they staying at the same resort the whole time?
No, they're going from the All-Stars to the Polynesian on
Thanks.
The Polynesian.
All right, that's the part I was missing. Okay, so I would still use the same Magic Bands for the whole time. And, what, the thing that makes this challenging, and this is some, this is getting way into the inner workings of Disney, I will tell you. Is that when you're checking out of one resort and into another resort, the first resort has to actually check you out of the system. If not, by the time you get to the second resort, it will cause problems. How do I know this, you ask? Well,
I take it you know it from personal experience.
I know it so well. In fact, I tell the cast members this now, and they're all like, oh. And I'm like, yeah, because we switch resorts all the time. You know, I'm always trying to stay at all the resorts just so I make sure that we have the latest information for the team to share that and stuff like that. So we stay at them all the time. But here's the thing. Your Magic Bands are linked not to that specific trip. They are linked to your My Disney Experience account. Mm-hmm. So they should be able to access that information without problem. Even if you're not checked out of one resort and checked into the next, the issue will be if you have the dining plan or your tickets are part of that next one, I would go through the process of checking out of the first resort and actually checking into the next. Does it take more time? Yes, it absolutely does. And there's just no way around that to make sure that it works exactly how you want it to. So that's my suggestion.
That's a good point, because they do have the dining plan. They do have their tickets because it is a package. And
right.
It's one of those things that if you just drop by just to make sure, even if you're keeping, again, like you said, you can keep those first Magic Bands on, but
Absolutely.
Just make sure that everything is showing up correctly, because if you're going to the Magic Kingdom that day, you want your friends to be able to obviously have their tickets on their bands and everything shows they're checked in, their tickets are now active on the package, and all their dining credits are squared away. So I think it's one of those, like, you know, 15 minutes dropping by the concierge desk or the check-in desk at the Polynesian. And I mean, it's a great introduction also for them to kind of it's going to be a pretty cool move from the All-Stars, which nothing wrong with the All-Stars. Yeah. I stay there often. But to go to the Polynesian Lobby and experience, you know, getting the lay and, you know, getting into that, I think that it's not that big a deal. You know, the resort, when you're staying at some place like the Polynesian, the resort is just as much of the experience as the Magic Kingdom, to be honest, I think. So
it really is. And even though they've made these upgrades where you don't technically have to check in to use all your stuff, the issue with the two stays being in your My Disney Experience and not necessarily being, you know, connected to the bands is going to be where there is an issue. And I just advise all guests who have anything tricky in their reservation, just go ahead and check in. And, you know, just, it won't take that much time and things will work much better for you. So
I agree. And, you know, they're going to have a great time. And it's great that you have, you know, Angie, you're looking out for them. And that's a huge thing, because I would imagine during this trip in July, you're always going to be a text message away, and you can kind of guide them if they get kind of confused in the process. But it's very, very simple. And, you know, a lot of people do this. I mean, it's very common for somebody to tack on a room only the night before a package starts. And so Disney sees this multiple times every single day. So it's not going to be anything. They just go to the Polynesian, let them know that they were staying at the All-Stars, just say, you know, hey, is everything right on our Magic Band? Can you scan and just have them ask the cast member, Magic Band?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. I do it all the time. In fact, I don't even give them a choice. I hold it up and I'm like, I'm doing this here. Because some of them will say, oh, no, we don't need to do that. And I'm like, oh, yes, yes, you do.
Yes,
they're trying to get you like, they're getting you like 5,000 extra steps on your Fitbit when you got to walk all the way back from the Magic Kingdom because it's all messed up.
That's right.
That's it. All right. Time for the last question of the day. And it comes from David, who goes by Ohio Disney Dad on Twitter. So give him a follow today. And he says, hello, ladies and Mike. I'm in the early stages of planning a surprise 20th anniversary trip to Disneyland for me, my beautiful Disney loving wife, and our three future Imagineers. The trip will be in April of 2017, so I have plenty of time to get an answer from you folks. And thanks, David, for the lead time. We just made it. We appreciate that.
Yes.
I said I've already started a Disney vacation account to help save up. We are avid Disney fans and have been to Walt Disney World many times, but this will be our first trip to Disneyland. As I said, this is a surprise, so I'm planning all of this on my own. Well, not quite all alone, because I will be utilizing an as of yet undetermined travel agency. But for now, I need any information I can get, including tips on the best types of sedatives to give a panicky teenager or two who have never flown. Kidding on the sedative part, maybe.
Mike!
Let's see. So, okay, so he's joking about that, but I believe there's a couple of A-Team episodes that kind of show how to help somebody fly, like with Mr. T. I'm just saying, I've heard that. Everybody says that they need to Mr. T me to get me on a plane, so I guess they knock him out or something. Anyway, he says, I plan on spending 3 or 4 days in the Disneyland parks, so I'm probably looking at a minimum of a 5-day stay. At the time of our stay, my children won't really be children anymore at the ages of 18, 15, and 10, so I need to know what on-property hotels would accommodate us. I am interested in getting a dining plan as well, or whatever equivalent there is at Disneyland. I'll also need tips on good restaurants for us to eat at as a family, and we'll need recommendations to a special dining experience for my wife, Princess. Cool. Thanks for all the fun and all of you, all that you guys do, David. All right,
so excited for them. How cool. Oh,
this is awesome, and I like that he's looking at it with plenty of time, so he gets, you know, he has time to research every possible option, and then when the time comes, he'll be ready to pull the trigger. And it'll also let him pull the trigger early, which means he'll have, you know, the best. That just works out best when you're planning travel to any Disney destination. Jump on it early. You have the best selection to get exactly what you're looking for. So he's doing the right thing. So first Disneyland stay. Let's talk about so they're a family of five with basically three adults and two kids by Disney standards when it comes to hotels, because the one 18-year-old is an adult now, which I found out with Paige, even though I tried to trick him. Can't do that with my Disney experience anymore. Just saying. They know. Disney knows all. But so they're looking for a resort. I guess they're wanting to stay at one of the three Disney-owned resorts. So, Pam, five, what would you suggest? Especially for, like, three teenagers or they have a preteen. What do you think?
So all of your deluxe resorts, except for Animal Kingdom Lodge and Wilderness Lodge, have standard rooms that accommodate five.
But wait, this is Disneyland, though.
Oh, yeah.
Other coast.
When did say add those because I wasn't there. They weren't there when I was there.
Hello.
It's been a week.
You know, it's not like I'm not here listening to the story. I'm just ready with my usual spiel.
That's it. It's let's see. It's April Fool's Day, part two.
I thought, man, did I mishear them or what?
I thought I misread it.
The answer was actually going to be about Disneyland. So
oh, well, that's good.
I did listen to the question. I just processed it the whole way. Anyways.
So where are you putting a family of five at Disneyland? What are the options for people?
The Disneyland Resort has standard rooms that can accommodate five. Yes, I am. And Paradise Pier does too. At Grand Californian, it's more challenging. And that's not always the case. So if you're staying on site, I will say that the Disneyland Resort is actually my favorite resort of the three. And the reason why is it has a feeling of magic and nostalgia that I think the other ones don't have. Not that I don't like both of the other ones, because I really do. It's just that some of the rooms at the Disneyland Resort, because they're older hotels, the room is much larger and it's easier to accommodate those. I love the Grand Californian, but some of those rooms can be smaller because it was, you know, built recently and just doesn't have that luxury. I also love the pool area at the Disneyland Resort, at that particular hotel, the Disneyland Hotel. I think it's really cool. Some of the rooms have a view of where you can see the downtown Disney area. I really love that. And that's my choice. It kind of falls in the middle between Paradise Pier and Grand Californian in terms of pricing too. So,
okay, good advice. And that's good stuff, because obviously if you're a huge Disney fan, you want some of that nostalgia. I mean, that's the draw of Disneyland, but it sounds like it'll work out great.
So did he ask about Walt Disney World accommodations for five too?
Yeah, just kidding. You ready? Yeah, so let's get. No, we don't. He didn't actually. But yeah, maybe we'll get. You know, we have tons of more emails, so who knows? We'll probably hit that. So keep that one.
I
hope you copied and pasted that. That's right. We're just going to just go to the soundboard, Pam, and we'll have that one answered. Okay, so a couple other things he had: a dining plan. So, Debbie, what would you suggest? It sounds like he's a Walt Disney World person. He's got the Walt Disney World mindset. So, you know, there is something, but it's not the same at Disneyland.
You're absolutely right, because, I mean, I'm in the middle of planning my next Disneyland trip, because I adore Disneyland. It is, like, addictive. And I always do the dining plan whenever I'm here at Disney World, whenever I hang out for a few days. I do not do it there, because it is a totally different bird. It is not like the plus dining and the quick service dining like you can choose from here. It is not that flexible that I find. And I don't do a lot of character dining, as you know, much there is some character dining choices, but I personally, it's much different. It's just a totally different bird.
So you would say the best advice, probably just go on your own and get what you like, and because it's not that big of a savings, or it's just not as convenient, or compared to Walt Disney World.
Yeah, absolutely. For me personally, now, you know, Pam may have a totally different take on it, but my personal thing is I like to pick like Blue Bayou. It's over in the New Orleans area. It's wonderful. I kind of take the Walt Disney World mentality, where I kind of pick out my table service restaurants, and I do make my own reservations for those. If you want a quick service, if they've got lots of nice quick service restaurants. So I find it a lot easier to work it that way, because that's just how I'm wired. But I think that that's a really cool way to do it, because it's not like Blue Bayou is on this list of table service restaurants, or you could just go and pick, like, let's say Cafe Orleans. None of those that I could see, unless you found something different, but it's just a different scenario, the way they even have it worked at Disneyland.
Yeah, at this point, what you can do is you can add a character meal. You can buy that with your package if you want to do that. And that may be something that works for you. But other than that, you'll be fine just doing it on your own. And there are so many, you know, great restaurants in California that I think that Disneyland really does a great job of having some great quick service spots. I will say the Hungry Bear, is a great one.
Yeah.
I know that sounds like odd, but they have like a fried green tomato sandwich and some other great great sandwich options. See, I'm having a hard time all around just like speaking this time. But it's such a different experience, and make sure that you like scout out the restaurants that you want to eat at before you go. Now dining isn't quite as crazy as it is here for Walt Disney World. Like, you're not 180 days out. You don't have to be on the phone at 6 a.m., 7 a.m. to get everything you want. But make sure that you do try to make reservations for those table service spots that you're looking for.
And what's also cool to do, it's, this is what I'm doing. I'm doing like the World of Color package, because it, like, I'm doing a lunch package. Lunch is cheaper than the dinner package, or excuse me, more cost efficient. And so what I like to do is you get a little bit, you pay a little bit more, but you do get some, like for the World of Color, you get three choices. You get Ariel's Grotto. You get the Trattoria. It's the, California Adventure. And then my favorite is Carthay Circle, restaurant. I like that one. I did that last time. I wanted to do it this time. What's kind of cool with that is not only do you get a very fine dining at Carthay Circle, but you also get this little, like a fast pass for World of Color. Yeah. So you do get, you could kind of walk around and enjoy it a little bit, then go to this one specific area. So you do pay a little bit more, but you do get some nice, I'd say seating, but it's really standing for the World of Color. And that would be a nice little to do. I've got that on my list of things to do as well. Some places, if you do a Walk Your Waltz Footsteps tour, you get already a lunch automatically with that. So you can kind of plan some of your meals already with some other things that are wrapped around it.
Yeah.
Agreed.
So let's get to David's last part of the question. So I'm going to ask this one to Ricky and Pam. So if your, say, Brian or Steve were to surprise you with a very romantic meal, something that was a splurge at Disneyland, I'll start with Ricky. Where's the one restaurant you would find, you know, is probably like the ultimate splurge for like an anniversary?
All right, I'm going to give two, and I'm probably going to steal one of Pam's, so sorry,
so
Pam.
So you only give one.
Okay, all right. I'll get the one that I don't think you're going to take. Okay. So I'm going to say Napa
love
Rose.
It. I love it.
You didn't have Napa Rose in mind,
yeah,
did you?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, dang it. Okay, I'm sorry. Well, job. Then I can say the other one now.
No, you can't.
I'm going to say Napa Rose. I think it's just the ultimate, so that's where I'm going to go with.
All right, so yeah. That would be your splurge. Okay, go ahead, Pam.
I agree with Ricky's. Like, pretend you didn't even hear Ricky's. No. Right. Okay. No, I love
Which
Napa
normally
Rose.
You guys don't, so, I mean, you know, that's
no.
fine.
No, I love Napa Rose, too. But I think another good spot at the Disneyland Hotel is Steakhouse 55, if that's more to your liking. That's a great place to go. And then I'm going to just once again say Carthay Circle, because
that's the other one I was going to go with.
Yeah. Because yeah. It has some great, it has some really cool, like, small rooms, and you can be seated outside, and it has this great lounge, and they're all just great restaurants. And I, you know, I think that you'll really find some great dining experiences there. So yeah, I hope someone's surprising me with one of these right now.
And what's really cool is that with the Carthay Circle, this is where the actual words, you can use the word free, but if I think it's at 10 or 10:30 on almost every day there at California Adventure, you could actually take a tour of the Carthay Circle restaurant before it opens, which is really cool because it's got some amazing backdrop stories to it. So when you actually dine there, you really feel like you are immersed in a lot more information that makes it even more special.
That's cool. That sounds like what I'm going to do at Animal Kingdom Lodge this July, when I'm going and I'm going to do the free tour of the restaurants.
Ooh, absolutely.
Pam's got me sold on that. I'm totally doing that.
It's totally worth it.
All right. Well, David, thank you so much for the question. And that does it for our question show today. But keep those questions coming. We love hearing from you. It's so much fun for us. You can tell we laughed through the episode because we never know where we're going. We just love talking Disney. So send those to Mike at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. And hopefully next Wednesday we can actually answer the questions the right way. We'll be fine. We had a hard time today, but you know what? Hey, give us a break. It's the middle of April. All right, so don't forget today's episode brought to you by the great folks over at virtualmickey.com. That is where you can download Days to Go WDW, and you can also get D-Point for your DVC members. For you know, if you got DVC, you need to maximize those points. You want to make sure that you're getting the most bang for your buck, as Angie said. You just want to make sure that everything is set. You have options. You can see what you can do with those, and D-Point's going to let you do that. And of course, Days to Go WDW, not much needs to be said about that app. We're all counting down to the next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Disney Cruise Line vacation. You download the app, you put in the date of your trip, You pick the text you want to put and show up every time you click on the app. You're going to get lots of great, beautiful pictures from all over Walt Disney World. You're going to get little audio alerts. I get mine at 2:05 every afternoon. I'm like, yeah, one more day closer to the cruise, because I got it set for the cruise, because that's like the ultimate right now. So just support the folks who support us. You know, they're out there supporting Disney podcasts. You're obviously a Disney podcast fan. You know, when these folks step out and help us keep the show going, we hope that you'll always support them as well. So check them out today. They're over at virtualmickey.com. And we thank the folks over at virtualmickey.com for supporting the Be Our Guest podcast. Give us a follow on the social media. We're on Twitter at Be Our Guest Mike. We're on Facebook at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. And of course, join the friendliest forums on the internet over at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. The next Be Our Guest Podcast live show comes together this Sunday night. That's April 12th at 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central at MagicalMouseRadio.com. Hope you'll drop in, give us a call, chat with us. We'll have some kind of a new chat room. Brian's working on it down in Springfield. We'll have it ready to go by Sunday night. So stop by. Who knows what it's going to look like? I'm excited. I'm kind of nervous, but I'm excited. It'll be fun. So again, Sunday night, 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central, the next Be Our Guest Podcast live show. Don't forget, Magical Mouse Radio plays great Walt Disney World in-park audio and music 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at MagicalMouseRadio.com. And keep those ratings and reviews coming on iTunes. Thank you so much to everybody who has done that in the last couple weeks. We appreciate that so much. It helps us grow the show, which we love. We're a show that likes to grow. I'm a poet and didn't know it. Anyway, let's get out of here. It's time to go. All right. So until we meet again on Friday, for Ricky, Debbie, and Pam, I'm Mike, wishing you a great hump day. Stay safe and keep working hard. And we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.